They finally got around to memorializing old Fred the other day. Fred passed away in August. Fred was a saint of the church. Fred and Janie used to anchor the back row, the back corner, every Sunday without fail. And it got to the point, Janie fighting diabetes and other problems, using a cane first, then a wheelchair, then facing multiple amputations, that it almost became too painful for us to see them coming to church. And it came to the point one day, on the many visits I made to them, telling them, "You don't have to do this. It really is more trouble for you than it's worth, isn't it?" They wouldn't hear of it. Their answer was, "Of course we have to be in church. Where else would we be?" Fred listened well. Fred didn't tip hands well. He was a good card player. Fred would always begin Monday with a phone call to the pastor to pick apart point by point his sermons. And if Fred had a problem with it, he wasn't shy about expressing it. So too for Janie. Fred told me once, one of the great lines ever for a pastor, "I like to think I'm a small part of something bigger." A small part of something bigger. Those words would have resonated with the writer of Hebrews, that wonderful passage that Diana read. A small part of something bigger to a church that, like so many churches across this fruited plain, had grown tired. That had grown tired of trying to put up airs, grown tired of trying to do things it used to do so easily, had grown tired of seeing all those empty pews, of losing people to the saint of St. Seely Posturpedic, of losing people to the saint of sleeping in, of simply not going to church, getting out of the habit, whatever in the world that means. And so the preacher of Hebrews reminded them not only that they were a small part of something much greater, but of what a wonderful story they had to tell, a story that was God's story, a story that was God's story involving us, involving God's Son, involving salvation, involving eternal life, a wonderful story. And then he gave a little gig at the end of that speech, that sermon. He reminded them, do not get out of the habit of gathering together as some have done, as some have decided they're too busy on Sunday morning, or some have decided that they're too embarrassed to come back because they haven't been in so long. Whatever their story might be, they're no longer part of something bigger. And then he tells the people in the pews, amid the dust, amid the cobwebs, and provoke others to encourage them to love and good deeds. Provoke? We have plenty of provocations in our lives, my friends, and provoking one another is not something anyone looks forward to. But we're called to be something bigger, to be something greater, to be something beyond ourselves, to tell the truth to people when it may actually be painful. A management consultant came to a business one afternoon to meet with the sales staff, who were in uproar, in turmoil, almost at the point of mutiny. He started asking them questions, and they said, the problem here was Jack. Jack was the whole problem of this institution. We're glad that Jack was fired, because now we can start getting back to what we're supposed to be doing. And he started asking questions about Jack. Tell me about Jack. And they said, well, he was as bad as Bill. And he said, and Bill was who? And they said, he's the one who was fired last year. And they said, and he was as bad as Sam. And he said, well, who's Sam? And he said, well, he got fired 2 years ago. And the management consultant took a little smile and drew a breath and said, sounds to me like you all are pretty good at finding scapegoats to problems that are your own problems. Provoke one another to good deeds and love. Tell the truth. Ask questions. Do things that seem almost impossible and certainly are out of your comfort zone. When Diane and I were in Germany, we gathered together one day, or she did, I was actually at work, in a protest against discrimination, against violence against immigrants. The decision was made that if enough people gathered, they could gather around the old city center of Munich, and gathered around, linking arms, they would light candles, And one person would turn to the next and light their candle, and the circle grew. And I'm told that you could see from the top of that old dome, the cathedral, in the middle of Munich, you could see that circle of light of all those people bravely gathering together to say no more, to declare that they were a small part of something bigger. To declare, as an old woman once did at another church, I want to come to church because I want people to know whose side I'm on. But it's so countercultural, isn't it? We don't want to upset anyone. We don't want to ask the hard questions. Sometimes we just don't really want to come to church, frankly. George Burns grew up in New York City. Of course, he was Jewish, but he was part of a quartet that called themselves the Pee Wee Quartet, a singing group of young boys. He was at the age of 7, and he ran in playing stickball one day. He ran across the pastor of the neighborhood Presbyterian church, who told him, "I have an offer for you all. If you can gather together your 4 young cohorts and you can sing for us, there perhaps might be a contest there, and you might win a prize." The Pee Wee Quartet took part in it, sponsored by the Presbyterian church, and lo and behold, they won a city competition. And back in those days of the Depression, they won a little money that seemed like a king's ransom, as well as new watches. George knew a good thing when he saw one, so he ran home and told his mother, "I want to become Presbyterian. I'm tired of being Jewish." His mother said, "Well, why would that be?" And he said, "I've been a Jew my whole life. I've never gotten anything out of it. I've been a Presbyterian for 15 minutes, and look what I got." Sometimes that's our attitude about church, too, isn't it? What do we get out of it? But more importantly, reminding ourselves, provoking ourselves to some deep thought, to remind ourselves that we're a small part of something so much greater, the more important thing is to give, not to get. And that, then, is stewardship. To give of ourselves, to give of our time, to give up that sacred 3 hours in the Sunday mornings instead of watching television or sleeping in. To give of ourselves and to know that in giving, we're a part of something so much bigger. To gather around a table on Worldwide Communion, to gather around this table and know that people are doing the same thing all over the world. In Germany, one of the great traditions we used to love was something called the Stammtisch. It's a communal table. It's a table where you can't plant seats. You can't reserve the seats. If you're sitting at a Stammtisch and there are empty seats, people come in, no matter whether they're strangers or friends, they're going to sit down with you. There's no reserving a Stammtisch. It's always an open table. And the remarkable thing is that has a tie to us, too. That reminds us, too, of being provoked to be open to strangers. John Calvin, the great forebearer of our faith in the Geneva church, when he gathered them for communion, would set a table of the Lord with the elements and beside it a huge oak table with chairs. And as people came forward to receive the elements, they would sit at that table. And they'd sit different places, and sometimes they'd have strangers sitting next to them, and suddenly you were sharing bread and breaking bread with strangers. Suddenly you were making new friends. Suddenly you were reminded yet again that you were a small part of something so much bigger. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's why we provoke one another. That's why we do not neglect to gather together, as is the habit of some. And the remarkable thing is, each of us, those small mustard seeds gathered together, increase one another's faith. And then we go out into the world and we do unbelievable things beyond our own comprehensions and dreams. It's audacious, it's countercultural, and it's a challenge to one another of us. To give of ourselves and to give to the world so that we might be so richly blessed. Come to this table, God's Stammtisch. Light a candle around a circle. Remember what you can give instead of get. And give thanks. Give thanks to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.